Because I was curious, there was a report out there that of Travis Freiman was going to throw out game one of the ALDS, the ceremonial first pitch, and then Josh Tomlin was going to go ahead and throw game two's first pitch. And so I was like, well, I texted a bunch of people, but Daryl was the first person I texted because Daryl, you guys don't know this, Daryl knows everyone. Daryl has been in the media here long enough, and he's worked with everyone. And because Daryl works so hard, he just kind of, like, everybody kind of understands Daryl's value and what a good dude he is, so they tell him stuff all the time. So, like, he's one of my great gossipers. If I need a little gossip, I'll go, you know, get a little, in, hey, what do you think about this? And he'll give me a little of that. So I text him. I was like, hey, is this true? And he goes, I don't know. I'm not on the Guardians beat, so I wouldn't know. I was like, Daryl, okay. So let's hope he's
sassy
in a better...
Sassy Daryl.
We got sassy Daryl. Although I'm a little sassy today, I can admit that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, you guaranteed a Guardians win in game one.
Well, that's okay.
Or no, you didn't guarantee a win. You said bring on the Tigers. That's
yeah.
What you said.
Yeah, and really...
Which, to me, that means you're in a sassy mood if you're willing to do that, because I know what that mood is like. I did it myself.
But see, it was different. Lesson. I was goaded into it by a good friend, Jim Costa, the ticket... I thought he was being a little bit...
We all get goaded into it.
I thought he was a little cocky. I didn't like it. That's not my boy.
Ken got goaded into guaranteeing a Browns win by a bunch of kids. I got goaded into saying bring on the Knicks because some Nick... who is it? Mr. Buckley. Mr. Buckley called in and he always had to push all the buttons to get me revved up about basketball. And you got goaded by a good friend into it. So,
except I'm going to be right. But we started the show with the question, what is more critical game? Guardians getting the win, game one. Browns getting the win over the Commanders. And, you know, just to kind of take us back here, I just think a win in game one. If this was Scooble, the one thing we didn't get to, if Scooble was starting game one, I actually don't think I'd be as much on team. Guardians have to win the game more than maybe the Browns need to win on Sunday. But the fact that if you don't win this, you turn around in game two and then you have to beat their best pitcher, that is where I think the concern comes in for me.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Jim, obviously, about A.J. Hinch and just the job he's done managing this team.
And the job
and
he's done.
That almost is like a psychological... tactic on his part because, I mean, I'm sure a lot of it just has to do with giving him a little extra rest after he started the game this week.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same breath, like, there is something psychological about putting the pressure. Yeah, like, if we feel it as fans, you know they feel it. Like, they know that it's a more daunting task to face the likely Cy Young winner in game two. And if you don't win game one, what that means. So it almost is kind of like this mind trick to put him in the second game, and I agree with you. That it increases the magnitude of that first game because it's the difference between, okay, if you lose the school game one, there's, I think, more of an optimistic approach to game two. It's like, okay, well, we got the difficult one out of the way. There'll be better game two, needed to get their feet underneath them. If it's with the opposite, it's like you don't have time to get your feet underneath you. You need to come out hot, get that win, because there's always the threat that Scooble is going to give you a lights-out, you know, 8-inning performance and shuts you completely down, and then you're all of a sudden in an 0-2 hole.
216-474-0092. What is more critical to get the win at? Guardians game one against the Tigers tomorrow in Cleveland, or Browns win over the Commandos on Sunday? We really haven't heard anyone say the Commanders there, or the Browns get the win over the Commanders, and I think it's interesting because... I do think, like, I'm stopping short of saying must win simply because with the Browns, I want to say that, not me, but I think I've heard it for every game since Dallas. Like, I almost think we've overdone this idea of, well, you got to beat the Jags because you can't start 0-2. And then it was, well, you got to keep the momentum going because the Giants aren't that good. And then it was, oh, crap, you lost to the Giants. Now you really got to stop this from going to 1-3. I think there's so much to be gained from a win on Sunday. I continue to look at this Guardians game, though. I really do think it's rust versus momentum. And I think being able to show that you're not rusty and to stop their momentum, I think the biggest thing with the Astros is they had a chance late in game one to take that game. and they didn't. Remember, they had bases juiced after Skubal went out, and then they had it again in the ninth inning. And that's when Hinge took Foley out and brought in the hard throwing Bo Brisky, I think is his name.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And
yeah.
So you had a chance to win there. Then in the very next game, in the seventh inning, you went up 2-1. You could have gone up like 5-1 because you had bases juiced and you only ended up getting two runs out of that. And then lo and behold, the Tigers come back and blew that game open. So there were opportunities for the Astros in both games to arrest that momentum. I think the sooner that you do slow the momentum by giving them that loss, this is not a prediction. You never know really how your team is. If you've been the hot hand, you never know what it's like to lose in the playoffs until you lose in the playoffs. And I think that's crucially important to do that for Detroit early, because I'm not saying they're a house of cards, but there's a different pressure to losing in the playoffs. There just really is. That because all of a sudden everything that you just said about the Guardians, that, you know, if you lose game one, kicks into your mentality. I think all of a sudden Detroit's like, well, now we need to win game two because we can't go back home facing a sweep.
I'm curious your thoughts, because as we talk about like teams playing with pressure or not, or, mm-hmm. you know, the Tigers coming in, like feeling like they're playing with house money. Like, I think, you know, Jim Costa's viewpoint of how confident he is in the Tigers and all that, and he kind of alluded to it, like, the Tigers are going into this playoff run, whatever, however long is left. And the fan base, what was kind of seeping out of his pores in terms of like the energy, it feels like they feel like no matter what happens from here, it was a success, right? Like, nobody expected them to be there. The fact that they even won the wild card round is a win in their book. So they very much have like hand, you know, pressure's off. Whatever happens from here is good. Do you think the Guardians can have a similar, like, we're talking about whether or not they can replicate that feeling, but is it the same for the Guardians in terms of how fans will view this postseason run? Like, is just like pushing this thing to five, and if you were to lose to Skubal in a game five scenario, like, would that be satisfying enough for fans, you think? Like, what has to happen in this postseason run for it to feel like it was a success? And I'm not saying the season was a success, because I do think like it can be two separate things. I think this season was a success. First year manager, given how last year went, they took a big step back. He kind of revives it, gets them to the postseason. They win the division. I think the season resoundingly was a success. But what does success look like in this playoff run? Is like, what is going to be enough to satisfy you?
Well, on one hand, I would say I think there's enough people afraid of the Tigers that I think they understand, hey, this might not be the cakewalk you thought it would be. Again, I'd still rather have faced the Tigers than the Astros. There are no really easy outs. Okay, going into your first series, if you're the one that has been laid up, it doesn't feel like there's any easy outs in the playoffs. So there's a part of me that thinks there's enough people around here that respect the Tigers and what they're doing, that maybe there's a realization of, hey, this might be really hard to win a series in baseball. At the same point, listen, the negative people are always going to be negative. But I do think there's a lot of people in the middle between the homers and haters that look at this and go, well, you won 91 games. You won the AL Central. You're the 2 seed. You've got everything going for you. Who cares that they're the hottest team in baseball? You need to win this series. So I do think, and listen, that opens up, then you got to beat the damn Yankees, and that's a whole different kind of pressure. But yeah, I don't think there's any scenario in losing this series where fans aren't going to come out pretty damn disappointed.
I think, yeah, I mean, if you lose in this series, I think I think the postseason specifically was a failure, especially when you have your manager, you know, big talking Stephen Vogt saying, hey, we treat every game like a playoff game. Now we're treating them like World Series games. Like,
I don't think he said that.
Well, I mean, in general, that's his whole mantra has been like, these games are all playoff games. This stuff matters. This is what you're here for. Yada, yada, yada. And again, a lot of it just comes down to, and I understand why fans should feel that way, given how much they've shown up to the ballpark, given how much they've supported this team this year, and why they get mad when they don't spend enough money or maybe do enough things at the trade deadline. Like, those are going to be conversations that percolate back up. Like, well, you could have done more to try to get, at least get out of this round and give yourself a chance in the next round. That's going to be part of the conversation. You spend 162 games largely following this team, waiting on every pitch, and you get so into it. This town gets into it. I mean, we know this is a Browns town through and through, but when the Guardians / Indians have ever been good in the course of history, this city buys in. They show up. They show up. They support this team. That stadium during the playoffs is one of the best sounds in sports, Nick. Like, it is a place to be when this team is in the playoffs, and so many people are invested in this. If you fall short of advancing out of this round, I think it's a no-brainer that was a failed postseason run. Maybe you don't beat the Yankees. Maybe you can't get past that team that we consider a juggernaut and their $300 million payroll and whatever else. But if you can't at least advance out of this round, get to a series with the Yankees, and I do think, too, like, it can't just be like you get swept by the Yankees. I think a successful postseason for this team looks like you get through this round, you get a draw with maybe the Yankees. If it's the Yankees, I think you take, like, okay, let's get a long series and see how things kind of shake out. And if you lose, you tip your cap and move on. If it's the Royals, I think you expect them to get to the World Series. I think that's how this thing kind of plays out. But, yeah, losing in this round can't happen.
So I think what makes this series important is that I think there's pressure in town to win this one. And there will be pressure. Listen, there'll be pressure to beat the Yankees. I know that. We hate the Yankees, yada, yada, yada. But it's funny, if I compare it back to 2022, you beat the Rays.
They were the Tigers that year.
Well, but yeah, you beat the Rays, and then you turned around, and you lost to the Yankees in a five-game series. And immediately, there wasn't a lot of negativity about it, right? There wasn't. The negativity that grew from it started when you started stinking up the joint the next year, yeah. And all of a sudden everybody started revising and moving goalposts, and, well, that wasn't that impressive. But if we assume chalk is going to play out from here, and it won't because it's baseball, but if we assume chalk is going to play out here and you get the win here, then you are going to face the Yankees. And then I think the pressure's on them. So, like, to me, what's fascinating about this is, in this series, the pressure, the expectations are on you. Because everyone's just enthralled with this Tigers team. It's not that people are rooting against the Guardians. It's that they're just, oh, they're young, excited, they're the hottest team in baseball, and people around baseball have glommed onto it. But if you take care of them, it doesn't matter what you do. You could sweep the Tigers, and people are going to, across the board, people are going to pick the Yankees. And I'm assuming that if we say chalk plays out in the NL, it means either the Phillies or Dodgers. So this is very likely the last series in which you have any true ounce of pressure other than you're on in the playoffs. So I think that's a fascinating dynamic of, okay, there are expectations on you, but that's going to change coming up. So I wonder how the math changes. I don't have a definitive answer on how the math changes pressure-wise for the fan base or for you and me from one series to the next.
Well, and I also just think, too, and you alluded to this, like, 2 years ago, you pushed the Yankees to the brink in a year where, again, you were the Tigers that year. You were playing with house money. Nobody expected you to be there. Okay. And then you take a step back last year. 2 years later, yes, new manager, all these different things. But you're expecting players like Stephen Kwan to play even better this time around. You're expecting somebody like Jose, who we still, you know, we've had conversations this week about this idea that, like, he still needs to do it this time of year to truly cement his Hall of Fame legacy. Josh Naylor, same thing. He wants to rock the baby in the Yankees' face. That's great. Do it, you know, show up and do it in the playoffs and win this series. Like, they're expecting, and I know it's not always linear, but fans want that, like, natural progression that, like, this thing's, because now,
so wait, real quick,
if you lose this series,
you look at this as an extension of 2022 then? Meaning, like, that becomes the linear progression?
I don't look at it as an extension of 2022 specifically, but I do think, like, the natural, like, people are expecting this team to have a natural progression in terms of the players that they've built around. And now if you lose to the Tigers, it feels like the core that you have has fallen behind a team that's young and up and coming now too. Like, that'll be what you have to sit with for the entire winter until next season starts, is this idea that, like, man, we felt like we were on the brink of something 2 years ago, and now this team has all of a sudden passed us. That's why I think this series matters even more. Like, you cannot possibly lose this series and have it feel like a successful postseason run.
I definitely think I agree. I mean, I think that's I think that, okay, so the question you were going to ask is what outcome would make the playoffs not worth it? That's the thing we talked about in the pre-show.
Yeah.
I think it's more if you lose this series, no matter the context, I think it's going to turn people negative. And I don't think – I think there's a healthy segment of fans who are kind of, you know, lean one way, lean the other on the Guardians, meaning like they love the Guardians, but they also love to hate the Guardians sometimes. And that goes into –
I mean, it would be the recycled, like, well, yeah, they didn't spend enough money, they didn't do enough at the trade deadline, which I'm ready to pounce on that one at some point, but we'll see.
But I do think, like, there's a part of me that also says, this is not my expectation. There's a part of me that says, if I believed you should win a World Series 120 days ago, well, you got to the dance, you got the first round bye. I don't know my hopes, dreams, and expectations have changed because you just never know how many cracks you're going to get at it. We thought we were going to be back last year, and you fell flat on your ass. So, like, there's a part of me that's like, I'd love to say, well, get to the ALCS, and then next year we'll do the linear thing. Man, I don't. No, I think you got an opportunity here. It's damn go time. 216-474-0092. Eric in Fairview Park, John in Wadsworth, Tommy in Brunswick. Malik, you guys stay there. When we come back, the question is, what outcome for the Guardians in the playoffs would make this whole thing, going to the playoffs, worth it? What would make it not worth it? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan. Now, see, I'm okay if you call the Guardians game one a must win. Just not another Browns game until they actually, I don't know, win or until it's like late October.
Well, but until they're actually like mathematically eliminated and then actually is a must win.
Then none of it matters. Then we just start getting ready for next year and look at mock drafts again. But
under 200 days.
We've been trying to get this topic going because you are going to be staying at... All right, you have to walk me through this because it's not. I'm not saying it's convoluted, but there's a lot of details here that my brain can't comprehend.
Yeah. So next weekend, I'm going to cover the Browns Eagles game in Philly, and I have like some of these trips. I'm just like staying with family to save money for the company that I work for, and so my sister-in-law. Right now, my brother, and my sister-in-law live separate of each other because my brother's in the Marines. He's stationed down in North Carolina. She's going to school in Philly right now. So she lives in Philly. They have a place there. Initially, when I was telling them about this trip, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there. Like, it'll be cool. We can, you know, and I said, like, maybe I was bringing my wife and my son with me. Like, it'll be a whole family thing. We're going to do a whole weekend. And it was like, yeah, we can catch up and see each other. It'll be great. Found out a couple weeks back, my brother was texting me, and he was like, yeah, you know, Anna's coming down to visit this weekend. And I was like, wait a minute, that's the weekend I was supposed to be coming there. Like, what am I going to do? And so they kind of talked about it, and they were like, hey, we're cool with you staying at our place while we're not there, the three of you, me, my wife, and my son. And so I told my wife this, and her first reaction...
A lot of my wife's here to start the survey. Sorry.
Her reaction when I told her was, well, that seems kind of weird to like stay somewhere when the people that we're related to aren't going to be there. I don't know how I feel about that. And I was like, I was kind of just like, what's so weird about that? Like, it's my brother. It's like as close as it can get in terms of family connection. Our sister-in-law, it doesn't seem that weird to me. If the roles were reversed and they were passing through Cleveland, we were on vacation, I'd give them the code to the door so they could stay for a couple days. And so now this has opened up this can of worms where I'm now thinking, like, is it weird to stay at somebody that you're related to's house when they're not there? Or what is the level of relationship that is allowed?
So, one, it'd be much weirder if you were staying there and your sister-in-law was staying there and your brother wasn't there and your wife and kid weren't there. That, I don't know why, but I instantly was like,
sounds like the plot of some future movie or something that's going to be on the Dateline.
I've got like three brothers, sister, and five stepsisters, and no to any of these scenarios. Now, that being said, I don't think it's weird at all. Like, granted, I don't know the ins and outs of your relationship, but like,
I'm really close with both my siblings. My brother and I, we got like super close when he was in high school and I was living at home, like, fresh out of college, and so we got like really close in that age, in that sort of age range between us, because we're 6 years apart, so there is a distance there. But I've gotten to know my sister-in-law through him, and she's great, and we love her, and she's come to visit us a bunch of times. So, like, yeah, like, there's it's a good relationship, but it's not, like, weird where I'm, like, asking out of the blue.
Well, but I think where I think I am with this is I think the only thing flawed here is I don't think it's, like, a unilateral, like, well, your brothers and sisters, yes, but not your cousins. It is totally on a case-by-case basis. Like, one, who I would let stay at my house with me not there and my family not there, case-by-case basis. Two, whose house without them there.
Is it exclusive to family, though? Or no, are there friends that you would let stay at your house?
My cabin boys can stay at my house when me and my family aren't there if ever they need it. Even if I'm there, whatever no. Not every one of my siblings or cousins or anybody I'm related to can be there.
So you're saying it's not just like immediate family, is
no.
it? It could expand out to like a cousin that you feel really close with.
Well, no, it's more exclusionary. Now, I'm not going to go like person by person, but I definitely, when I thought of like, there's like somebody I thought of in my family, I'm like, yeah, you're not staying at my house if I'm not there. Mostly because I don't want to come home and my place is trashed. And I know we're all adults. No. But is there for you, is there like a cutoff? Do you just do it by like levels of family?
Yeah, now that my wife like put into the ether of this idea of like, well, that seems kind of weird to me. I've like thought about this more now the last like month or so since we were like talking all this through. Like obviously like if it was my parents, fine. If it was my immediate siblings, fine. I don't know. Like I have some cousins that I'm closer with than others. I don't know that I want my cousins necessarily staying at my house because I don't know that I know my cousins that well where I like trust them wholeheartedly not to like do something or whatever.
I agree with you, it's case by case though.
Because there are friends, like I do have some really, really close friends that if they like really in a pinch wanted to stay there, I'd be like, yeah, sure, that's fine.
There are cousins that I trust more than siblings. There are friends that I trust more than, and again, it's like,
I trust both my siblings enough that I would let them both.
In a pinch, if it really needed, anyone can stay. But if I could do without, yeah, I would have to be the bouncer because Vanessa's too nice. But yeah, I have a list, and if you're not on the list, you ain't coming over.
So the follow-up question to this then is like, what's the length of time that you're like comfortable with? Like, is it endless?
Yeah.
Or is it like a weekend?
No, there's no, listen, if I trust you to stay at my house without me there, it can be a month. If I'm not there for a month, might as well somebody be there, right? Like, there's no like amount of time where it get weird for me. When somebody's staying with you and they live locally, and like that's when it gets awkward. But if I'm not there, if somehow I ever get that rich where I can not have, hey, I own a house and I'm not there for a month, yeah, no, there's no amount of time for you.
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a week after a week, I feel like it'd start to get like a little weird.
Why?
I don't know.
You're not there. You wouldn't feel any of the vibes.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
216-474-0092. Are you comfortable letting people stay at your house when you're not there? And what are the rings of trust? This is what we're going to call them. John, do you have any sort of dividing lines on how long someone can stay at your house without you being there? Friends, family, otherwise?
Not really. I'm really close to my family. I know which friends I can trust. So, you know, it's, hey, man, mi casa, su casa. I'm also Italian, so that kind of plays into it as well. So
I love it. Excellent. So you did call in also to get into which game is more important that they win, the Guardians game one or Browns on Sunday. What you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's the playoff game with the guards, but I think you know, you guys are talking about the pressures on us for the series. I don't necessarily think it's for the series. I think it's strictly on game one because no matter what happens in game one, the Tigers are going into game two just completely mellow. You know, they're cool with everything because they know Scooble's going. So if we can pop them in the mouth in game one, I think what happens then is you kind of put that little bit of a shadow of a doubt in them saying, okay, well, not only are you beatable, but, you know, your run, maybe you're not as hot as you think. So we don't want to give them that added momentum with Scooble with a game one win. So I think the huge pressure is on us for game one. But the rest of the series, I just want them to be competitive. I don't want to see the offense turtle. I don't want to get swept. Like I want to see them be competitive because these last few series we've had in the playoffs have not been great.
John, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. John in Wandsworth, my hometown. Peter in Perrysburg, real quick, buddy. Are you comfortable letting anyone stay at your house when you're not there? Or do you have exclusionary lists or levels in your family?
Nope. You can stay. Three rules. You break it, you buy it, feed the cats, and don't touch my records.
All right, I'm coming over
don't
then.
Touch the records. Now coming we're talking tonight, there, Peter. Real quick, buddy, what was your take on the Gardos?
The last caller was dead on. It's a must-win in game one, but for the series, the pressure's off, I think, because, again, the Tigers are on fire. They're going into the series with, you know, so much momentum. Everyone's probably like, oh, well, they're just going to go right past the Guardians. But here's the thing. I am piping mad by that so-called friend of yours who called in and is just like, oh, yeah, it's 1-1, no doubt, and probably 2-0 when we go back to Detroit. Really? You're that arrogant. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. And they're incredibly arrogant, and it's the playoffs. That can come back to bite you in the butt. Okay.
Are you willing say bring on the Tigers, Peter?
I wanted the Tigers.
Yeah.
I wanted the Tigers.
That's two people away.
Here's why. That your friend from Detroit who called in didn't factor in. We saw them 13 times this year. Okay. We've seen them. It's not like we only played them like four times or six times. We've seen them a ton. So we probably have really good scouting on them. Okay. The arrogance. I mean, they've probably already in their minds blown past us to the Yankees. Bring them on. I thought it was going to be competitive, but I hope we sweep their asses out of town.
That's what I'm talking about, Peter. We appreciate you, buddy. Good stuff. Have a good weekend, bud. Peter in Perrysburg. I must have said Petersburg. That would have been weird.
Double P's.
You got to love the double P's. When we come back, Darryl Ryder.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.